Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Matthew Runs created Purple Insider, has an excellent staff. It is very reasonable. And if you're paying attention to the most prominent and popular business in Minnesota, this is a must. So check it out. Purple Insider, Mr. Collar, we wanted to put him up here at the top of the hour, so my lousy clock management doesn't squeeze any time for Matthew, so we're going to make him a 208 fixture on Fridays. And Mr. Collar, who I think is flexible, I don't know if intellectually you're flexible. How about physically? Do you view yourself as a physically flexible person?
No.
No, not really at all.
No, I don't really stretch or anything. I mean, I jog, I play golf, play a little basketball, but I can't really lean over that much dribbling-wise. So I would say at a younger age, probably.
Wow.
But presently, no. I would not say my dexterity is very impressive.
No. I mean, have you heard of the Pilates? Have you heard of the yoga? You know, you might want to see those toes. So Mitch Collar will be with us.
I don't like to do too much there.
Yeah. I've never been a jogger. I get to like the first half mile and I think, why am I running? You know,
why I do it. I do it because you have to run back home. Like, that's the thing. Like, you run far away from home and then you're like, I don't want to be doing this, but I have to run back home. So it's sort of inspiring in a way.
Well, in some ways, you could just have Sloan drop you off like 4 miles from the house and say good luck.
Yeah, I could. I don't think she would. I don't think she would oblige that. I think she would just tell me I had to run home.
Yes, that is true. Mr. Collar with us here on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. I'm looking at the mailbag when I go to Purple Insider, and I think the first question is excellent. Trying to figure out the issues on the D. Can these chunk plays be minimized by scheme? Or are players not capable of it? Are the players up to it, but being let down by the schematic side? Clearly, they aren't going to blank teams, but can they minimize the chunk play issues? I got it. They're 9-2. It's a league filled with mediocre teams, and you shouldn't apologize for 9-2. We'll get to the better parts later. But that's where I was going to start. Even before I looked at the mailbag, which I did about 3 hours ago, and I thought, yeah, I'm going to use this question. They give up the most passing yards in the game. They gave up the most yards per pass attempt. What do you think it is? Are the players not good enough? The Donatel scheme? They haven't adapted? Because I would say it's a little bit of everything. But if I got to pick one, Matthew, they just don't have the players. They just aren't talented enough on defense.
Yeah, so I did a little research on this, and in terms of the yards per play that they're allowing, only one team has reached the Super Bowl since 2010 while allowing this many yards per play, and that team had Tom Brady, and they outscored their opponents by 170 points. So that's not your team. As much as people are, putting chains around Kirk Cousins and stuff, he'll never be Tom Brady. So
no.
That's an issue that I think that Vikings fans should be very, very concerned about, because I think that Marcus Spears on ESPN put it really well, where he said, you know, when it comes down to like where we're at right now in the season, we need to start being very critical and scrutinize these teams through the lens of can you win a Super Bowl, not just,
yes,
hey, can you be good, can you make the playoffs? This is not a Super Bowl defense. If you play defense like this, look at Mac Jones last night. That man threw for 382 yards against you. And that offense is one of the worst offenses that I have ever seen my entire life. And yet, I mean, the way that it's operated, the way that it's schemed up by Matt Patricia, mm-hmm, in New England, and they got 382 yards passing and 26 points and almost beat you. That's very concerning that some bad quarterbacks, some bad offenses have had success. And I think that when you're diagnosing the issues, it really is roster. I mean, what they have is they have several players who are playing great. And I think this is why they've been able to come through in the biggest moment. Patrick Peterson has played like a dude who's going to have a gold jacket. Za'Darius Smith, Danielle Hunter, Hunter has really picked it up over the last 6-7 weeks. And these guys are playing great. But defenses are weak-linked systems. So when you have a nickel corner who ranks among the worst in the entire NFL, when you have a backup corner who's playing like Duke Shelley was last week and it will be a Caleb Evans this week, those guys are going to get attacked repeatedly by your opponents. And I just don't think that they've had an answer. But I also think that we shouldn't let Ed Donatell off the hook because of this. I mean, mm-hmm, when you're playing a defense – that's supposed to be bend, don't break. You can't give up 4 30-yard plays to the Patriots or whatever it was. You can't be giving up 30 and 40-yard passes if you're bend, don't break. The other thing is Harrison Smith is having the worst year of his career by the PFF numbers, and I don't think that's because of Harrison Smith. I think that he's not being used in the same way he was before. He's not being moved around. He's not being used as a chess piece.
100%.
He's being used the same way that you would use Josh Metellus if he was in there. And it just does not sound from the weekly press conferences like Ed Donatell has any interest in changing. So I think this is like the Samuel L. Jackson, hold on to your butts type of situation.
I think that's a great point at the end too, because you're out there, but I'll try to pay attention on Thursdays when the coordinators speak so I can see it, whether it's Vikings.com or somebody has it. He just seems like he is a classic systems guy. I've got my system. It works. I don't care if this is the way I could use Harrison, and this is the way Smith has been one of the 4 or 5 best safeties in the game the last 6-7 years. I'm not going to change. And that is always foolish. I disagree with that vehemently. Let's get to one position that you didn't summarize, the linebacker position. Eric Kendricks has been a star for multiple years. The way he conducted himself and the way he played. Then they bring in Jordan Hicks. And Jordan Hicks has had some moments when it's against the run where he looks really good. Against the pass, man, he looks like he's getting beat an awful lot. So just Hicks. And also, how far, in your view, your own eyes, the data, the conversations you've had, how far has Kendricks fallen this year?
Yeah, I think that linebacker is really a position that is impacted greatly by the system that you play in terms of what your numbers look like. And so when they're playing cornerbacks way off, safeties way back, where does that leave a ton of room? In the middle of the field. And that's where they've just been destroyed this year, is in the middle of the field. But it's also asking, Jordan Hicks and Eric Kendricks to cover more ground than almost any linebacker is capable of covering. I do think that, 3 years ago, Eric Kendricks is probably a better player than he is now. But I also think that Mike Zimmer fully understood the talent that he had in Anthony Barr and Eric Kendricks and what he could do with those guys. And I also think that he gave them a lot of control of what was going on out there. I mean, Anthony Barr was the guy who was calling all the shots on the defense. He was adjusting the coverages, changing the pressures on the fly because he was such a smart player. That's why Zimmer always defended him so much, because he could do anything out there. I don't think that that's really the case, and I don't get the sense that they have the freedom to make as many changes. You used to see Anthony Barr communicating a ton during the game. I don't see as much of that from the linebackers. It really seems like they sort of line it up and play a lot of cover two in this defense, and I think that that's really not ideal. And also, teams these days are just moving receivers into the slot all the time, and they see Chandon Sullivan as a weakness, and they see that Jordan Hicks doesn't have a ton of range, and they've just been able to find all sorts of room over the middle. And with Kevin O'Connell last week, I was very, very impressed by his adjustments. There have really been no adjustments from what I could tell to the defense, and I think that that's a really big concern, because if you play Philly, if you play Dallas, San Francisco, these teams, They don't have Mac Jones. They have quarterbacks who have gone to the Super Bowl. Like they have quarterbacks who put up, you know, 400-yard games. I think it's a really big concern for them about this defense. But I also think that, you know, really health is going to probably determine it, because I don't think there's going to be a lot of scheme changes.
They have also the special teams coordinator meet the media on Thursdays. He came out. Mike Daniels, am I right? I'm just blanking on his name right now.
Matt Daniels,
I apologize. And he comes out and he says, I guess, what he has to say, that we still have great faith in Greg Joseph. They shouldn't have great faith in Greg Joseph. Do you think they should be bringing somebody in at this point? Or do you think that makes it even worse than it is if you bring somebody in the end you keep Joseph? Is that really going to rattle him? Because I'm sorry. If that's going to rattle him worse than where he's at right now, then he's the wrong guy. And maybe this is just as a Vikings observer. I'm thinking Joseph is going to come back to bite them sometime in January. But what do you think about what they're saying and how it's playing out so far?
I think of all of the unpredictable things in all of sports, kickers might be at the top. I mean,
yeah,
because
right.
Like Greg Joseph was great for them last year, or at least really good. And then we watched him in training camp where he was an absolute monster and was hitting every 50-yard kick. And then they get into the games and he hasn't done that. I've also wondered, they changed holders from last year. Jordan Berry was a veteran. Ryan Wright is new. And I wonder if there's something with the operation that's why they're expressing faith in the kicker, because sometimes it's not always the kicker's fault what's going wrong. But I also think that there's this thing about like chasing your tail with kickers, where, okay, you overreact to a couple of missed extra points, then you get rid of a good kicker, but then the next guy, he's at very best the 33rd best kicker in the world, not whatever you thought Greg Joseph was. So what if that guy comes in and he's just not good at all? Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's almost better to hang with a guy that you have a big sample size on, because all the great kickers at some point, Mason Crosby's a good example, like have had down years or down sections of seasons, and if you overreact to them, you might end up just keep bringing in kickers that you can't trust at all. I think it is difficult, because you could make both arguments. You could say, look, you're trying to win a Super Bowl, you can't have this guy missing kicks. But you could also say, boy, it's a pretty weird look for the locker room when you're 9-2 and you're winning games and he hasn't cost you anything to throw one guy overboard who's been a part of the thing for the entire time and who has a proven history. So I think this is very much a wait and see. I don't think you have to do anything right now. If it becomes a major problem over the next few weeks still and he continues to miss these extra points, then it probably has to be addressed.
Last thing, let's try to keep it within 60 seconds or so. Christian Darrisaw, two straight concussions, out still. We just have no idea when and if Darrisaw is going to play again this year, right?
Yes and no. As far as the protocol goes, the fact that he was out there this week is a really good sign for the potential for him, you know, getting back in action maybe a week from now. But of course, concussions can have setbacks that come along. And it will be interesting also to watch the left tackle position, because Kevin O'Connell alluded to the possibility that Oli Udo could, you know, play. I don't think they've been really thrilled with Blake Brandel, but I mean, there's no backup tackles in the league who are any good. So that will be something to watch. But yeah, they need to be as patient and as cautious as they can with Christian Darrisaw. And hey, like 9-2 allows you to do that. And the Packers and the Lions and everyone being horrendous, they need to be as patient as they possibly can. And I think that they maybe learned that lesson after bringing him back as soon as they did.
Thank you, sir. Great stuff. I'll be paying attention this weekend.
Yep, thanks for having me.
Matthew Coller, again, well worth your time. Purple Insider. Another note about U.S. Bank, which has nothing to do with the Vikings. We'll talk about that when we come back. And following traffic and weather, we bring back the very popular Am I Wrong? With Dave Harrigan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.